folks. I'm Jean DiBerio, and I'm a nutritionist and a wellness coach. Welcome to Healing Outside the Box. This week's episode delves into the question of whether or not laughter can directly or indirectly improve our overall health. But first, I'd like to tell you about our trip to Fenway Park to see the Red Sox play Cleveland Indians. Now, if I had to describe what it's like to be at Fenway Park in one sentence, I would say, it's not a place, it's an experience. Peter Sagal on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me once referred to us as those insufferable Red Sox fans. And I took offense to this because, well, it's true. There are about 34,000 people in a relatively small area. So when everyone's cheering at once, it's like what Motown music producers would call a wall of sound. And when we are winning and getting a lot of hits, that wall of sound almost becomes a vibration. And then there's, of course, a lot of dancing with funny hats and painted faces between innings, while all of those poor people watching it on TV are listening to commercials. Needless to say, having a conversation with someone next to you at Fenway Park is out of the question. All a person can do is yell out one-liners, and that's exactly what happens. It's almost as if there's a competition about who can yell the funniest one-liners. So if you want to practice your comedy routine, Fenway Park would be the place to go. On the day we were there, which was Friday the 13th, the Boston Red Sox were playing the Cleveland Indians, and we were behind 2-0 in the second inning. So we did what any loyal Red Sox fan would do. We started poking fun of the other team. At one point, the announcer said, "Now batting for the Cleveland Indians, Carlos Santana." At that point, I turned to my sister and said, "He's got to change his evil ways." Now, that might not seem funny to you right now, but you had to be there, as they say. I recall another night I was at Fenway Park when the Red Sox were playing the Yankees. Alex Rodriguez, or A-Rod as they call him, was playing third base when we hit a very high pop-up on the third base side. Hundreds of fans who were sitting on the third base side all started yelling, "I got it, I got it." Once again, it was funny, but you had to be there. Being there with people who are laughing out loud makes us all laugh out loud as well. When the Red Sox are at bat, the intercom plays the batter's favorite song. But when the Cleveland Indians were batting, they were playing songs like Putting on the Ritz. That, of course, reminded me of one of my favorite movies, Young Frankenstein. If you didn't have the opportunity to see that movie, it's a must-see for budding comedians because it is a Mel Brooks classic. When they were building their monster, Mel Brooks needed a brain to put in his monster, and he saw a woman's brain named Abby Normal, and he said, "Oh, this is perfect." But then when they all started singing Putting on the Ritz, Young Frankenstein sang Putting on the Ritz because, of course, he had an abnormal brain. Now, if you're offended by that because you might have an abnormal brain, I don't know, write your letters to Mel Brooks because he started it. Oh, speaking of politically incorrect, what's up with the Cleveland Indians icon? If you're on my website, take a look at it. It seems to me like it might be a teensy bit on the racist side, but what do I know? Anyway, we won the game 10-3, which of course puts everyone, including the drunks, in a very good mood. When I was leaving after the game, one intoxicated young man started to part the crowd so I could get through in my wheelchair. He kept saying, "Clear out, move over, let the lady through, move over." Now, I'm not sure whether he actually pushed people out of the way or just fell on them. I didn't dare to look back. I imagine it's because I'm disabled, but the drunks at Fenway Park seem to take a liking to me. Not the ones who come to the park already intoxicated, but the ones who are drunk from the sixth inning on. I call them the nouveau drunks. Where was I? Ah, yes, laughter. We all feel better when we laugh, but can laughter actually have real physical benefits to our overall health? And perhaps more importantly, can we develop or enhance our ability to laugh? A recent report from the Mayo Clinic looked into this. Here are some possible short-term effects. Laughter can increase endorphins that are released by your brain. A good hearty laugh can increase your heart rate and blood pressure a bit, and then it calms it down. The result is to make you feel relaxed all over. Laughter can also physically stimulate your circulation. Some people swear by laughter as a promoter of sleep, especially if they experience chronic pain. There is also some controversial evidence that it might help our blood sugar levels indirectly by relaxing us and therefore reducing stress hormones like cortisol. The possible long-term effects of laughter include the following. If laughter, say, in social situations, produces positive thoughts, these positive thoughts can release neuropeptides, which fight stress and improve our immune system. There still isn't a lot of evidence on exactly how it improves our immune system, but there are studies ongoing about this. As we suggested before, laughter can reduce pain in chronically ill people. Laughing in social situations helps us to connect with other people. Laughter can lessen our anxiety level and may relieve some symptoms of depression. Now, everything I've mentioned seems self-explanatory because we all know that we feel better when we laugh. The interesting part of this article suggests that humor can be learned or improved upon. Dr. Frank Lipman wrote an article for the Huffington Post about this. He says that laughter is one of the easiest things you can do for your healing and your well-being. He found that patients who have a sense of humor and laugh more tend to heal quicker than those who don't. But what if we don't have a funny bone in our body? Can we make one? Well, one of the things we can do is focus on what makes us laugh and seek it out. If you find movies or videos that are particularly funny, keep them on hand, look for videos that are similar to that, and take them out when you're having a stressful day. Self-deprecating humor can be shared. People tend to like the idea that we can all laugh at ourselves from time to time. And like I said before, it helps us to connect with people. We could spend more time with our friends who make us laugh. Or perhaps we can think of a funny story to tell before we're getting ready to meet up with our friends. I was chatting about this topic recently, and I told someone that, off the top of my head, three of the movies that I find amusing are A, Young Frankenstein, B, Dr. Strangelove, and C, Office Space. Now, when I look back at those three movies, they're similar in certain ways. So that's what I do. I look for funny movies that are like those favorite movies of mine. The Huffington Post article suggests that we should be aware of what isn't funny to others, and that's humor at the expense of others or humor that is hurtful. Now, some professional comedians push the envelope on this, but leave that to the professionals. Now, here's the chicken and the egg question. Is it just the physical act of going, ha ha ha, that makes us more relaxed? Or is it that people who seek out a positive attitude or funny movies or comical friends, etc., are benefiting from a choice they are making in their lifestyle? Most scientists who have weighed in on this subject are not sure. But does it really matter? I'll leave you with a quote from Mark Twain, who said, "Humor is mankind's greatest blessing." And I would add to that, that it's a great unifier in a world today that needs unity in spirit. That's all I have for you today. Be well.